Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 20. And this, I just want to share about women in the ministry for a few minutes. We have two guests speaking tonight, 10 minutes apiece. Pastor Dan Dunbar, who is not ordained. He's not ordained, okay. But he is, I think, isn't he? How many agree? May the people vote. Okay, so he lives in South Korea, was a principal, illustrious, famous, valuable, precious to us, the principal at GGCA, and felt led by God to go to the mission field, to kind of like our surprise. Yeah, but just thankful that he heard from God and he went to South Korea and has been, in effect, pastoring there. And then another special brother, Pastor Ed Morneau, who was also a predominant player at the school, GGCA, for years and very precious to our hearts. So those men are going to share tonight. I would like to say to the body here that the women's seminar that we had starting Friday night, and I got to be there, sat in the back, and just listened to every song. The message was amazing on comparison, just shortly. Comparison can be very deadly to us. We can compare ourselves with each other in the wrong way and condemn ourselves for what we are not. But Pastor Justin said, if my comparison is with somebody that inspires me to use my gifts and to walk with God, then I want to be like him or her. But there is no condemnation. Also, when we walk with God, we are, in a way, detached and from each other by way of comparison, and we let everyone live before God, and we do not compare others with others, and they do not compare us with others. If that happens, then it's not body life. Body life is a paradox of God consciousness in the presence of people. That I'm in the presence of people, but there's no comparison. There's only edification and service and ministry. Listen to this list of women with Kimmy Andrelonis, leading it up as the event leader. Wow. She did such a good job. I mean, just such a happy, relaxed leader. The speakers, Michelle Benoit, extraordinary. My wife came home and just was talking to me about it in many ways, and we were just enjoying the fellowship, these amazing people, Katie Sabo, Jean Marie Andrelonis, Lisa Sliva, Matt's wife, amazing, a Watson at heart. I mean, amazing, Marion Frankenhauser, wow. Donna Hooker, Alicia Chumsland was incredible. I heard Laura McFarland, another one, heart-touching to words, Rachel Jones. Very good. I mean, I heard this. I didn't hear them in person, but I heard about them. The workshops, Abby Lange, Kim Jones, Ciara Harrison. Then the cleanup, there were concert organizers, Sarah Reagan, and the concert was just, I enjoyed it. I rebuked the ladies at the lunch, but you have to hear about that. You know, no, they're awesome. They're awesome. I mean, we just had a great time. And Gavin was in the cleanup. Pasha, Charles Hadley, or Concert, Matt LaFlame, Tom Reagan, Rachel Jones, these are the singers, I think, Brittany Howard, Zane Turk, Katie Sabo, David Wright, and Mallory. Yeah, so the band and singers. Thank you. Thank you. I'm like a pig in mud. I mean, I am just a happy camper. I can't believe I'm in a church like this. I am so happy. It looks like I'm going to survive another year. Yeah, I mean, how can you be with people like this and not be so edified? It is simple, pure, spiritual, godly, edifying. I thank you. I thank you. I'm just so blessed by it. It's amazing. Now, a few words about women. Women, this is I think my favorite quote from a woman by the name of Ashley Montague, wrote a book, The Triumph and Tragedy of the American Woman, which was in the Saturday Review. Women have great gifts to bring to the world of men. Let's have a moment of silence. How about it, women? Hoop it up. Do I hear any amens out there? Huh? You can say that again. Women have great gifts to bring to the world of men. The qualities of love, compassion, and humanity. That is beauty of spirit. It is a function of woman to humanize, since women are the natural mothers of humanity. Women are by nature endowed with the most important of all adaptive traits, the capacity to love. And this is their principal function, to teach men. Wow. You know how men say you can't figure out women? You know why? Because you're supposed to learn to love. Okay? They're not computers. They're called women. And they teach us to love. And we have to learn to love. Boing. I have to learn to love. Isn't that beautiful? Come on. And I'd like to say that the spiritual life in our fellowship in all ages, from young people all the way to the honorable people with the experience and age, everybody, men and women, there's a kind of blindness that is a special, beautiful thing when you see people and you do not stereotype them and you do not put them in a box, but you are open to God to hear them and receive their portion and their gifts. And the women that are in our church, I mean, we don't have women in our leadership in an official way. We don't ordain them. There's not a woman trustee. However, they are so influential in our church. They are so able in their administration, in their teaching, as teachers, as counselors, and we're developing our counseling program under Pastor Hadley and are bringing in women counselors to do a very special job because they are very capable. And this weekend showed it. For me, it was the best women's seminar I've ever, in the history of our ministry. It was so relaxed, so wise, so beautiful and spiritually edifying. Then she said, there can be no more important function than to teach men love. Once women know this, they will realize that no man can ever play as an important role in the life of humanity as a mentally healthy woman. And by mental health, I mean the ability to love and the ability to work. Being a good wife, a good mother, in short, a good homemaker, is the most important of all occupations in the world. It surely cannot be too often pointed out that the making of human beings is far more important vocation than the making of anything else, and that in the formative years of a child's life, the mother is best equipped to provide those firm foundations upon which one can subsequently build. All right, let's say I'm not a mother, but I'm a woman put in the body of Christ, fitly framed into, placed in with spiritual gifts. And I have a function. And in this little story, I'll just point out to you just for a few moments. It's a story about a woman in 2 Samuel 20 and verse 16. Joab was going to tear a city of Israel down block by block to get at a rebel who was hiding in the city. And a wise woman, verse 16, she cried out of the city, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near, and I may speak with you." When he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am he." Then she said, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." I'm sorry to say that sometimes men don't listen. And to a woman, he has an attitude, and he doesn't listen. And Joab is like Mr. Macho. Joab is a general. He's a killer. He's David's main guy. He's the secretary of defense, you could call him. He's the head of the army. He's a big, powerful, strong guy. But a woman said, "Are you Joab?" From the city wall. "Are you Joab?" "Yes." "Will you hear me? I'm a woman in Israel. Will you hear me?" "Yes, I will hear you." Yay, Joab. Give Joab a hand. I mean, he wasn't the most perfect guy, I'll tell you, but he got that right. Now, listen to me. There can be talk on the street about our ministry not honoring women or using women. It's not true. It's not true. We listen. We have the Spirit of God. We are listening. We are caring. And I mean it as a principle. Don't buy into that. That's garbage. When we lived in Finland, our ministry was built with women. Our ministry, we did everything except ordain them. I had them around me all the time. They were always, they are mighty women. They are women that are mightily used of God. I could tell story after story. Sirpa is here. She's one of them. Hanale, Aya, Elu, many. Mighty women. And the ratio, by the way, in our church was 7 women to 1 man. That's true. We had 30 men and 200 women. 7 to 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 women, 1 man. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 women. And you know what we did? We believed God. I did not care. I don't care about those things. This is spiritual. This is God. This is amazing. These are women of God. So he heard her. Listen to what she said. Verse 18. Then she spake. They were wont to speak in old times, saying, "They shall surely ask counsel to Abel," and so they ended the matter. "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel." Meaning, you could come to the city, we could resolve disputes. You could come to the city, and you could get good counsel. And I am one of them, the woman is saying. I am one of them. I am a problem solver. I am one of them. You come to me, you don't get into trouble. You come to me, you get out of trouble. Isn't that good? There are some people, they go to them and the counsel brings them into a pit of despair. You hang around with us, you get joy in your heart. You get spirit-filled, you get wise, you get built up. You hang out with God's people and you'll be okay. Okay. Verse 19. I am one, we read it, right? I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. I am not a gossiper. I don't sow discord. I know there was a woman that came here and was yapping and talking and took four women out of our church. They took four women out of our church. It's like, I know about it. I hardly ever talk about it. That's your business, but it's stupid. Why would you leave a church like this? Why would you leave a church when you got an open Bible and you got worldwide mission, you got spirit-filled people? What are you, brain dead? That's crazy. You listen to gossip, you might become like them. And you take a good look at that person that you're listening to find out if you want to be like them. Guys, for me, there are people, I don't want to be like them. I want to be this other kind. I want to be this godly, spirit-filled, Pastor Shibley kind. I want to have Silver Spring juice in my tank. I want to have God in my life. I want to be filled up with Tabasco sauce. I want to get anointed with fire. I want to have a simple, carefree, godly life like this woman is speaking from the wall. And listen to how it goes. Verse 19. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. I'll be here Christmas time. I'll be here at Eurocon. I'll be here when the graduation happens. I'll be here at the church picnic. I'll be back here at harvest night. I'll get back here for the Thanksgiving dinner with a lot of gravy and potatoes. By the way, I am starving at the moment. And then Christmas again, and then there'll be the new year. I'll be here at the Eureka. I'll go back into the graduation and the mission barbecue time, and then into the convention again. And then guess what? We're going to finish that year up, and we'll be in the year 2019. Another summer and winter would be 220. Summer and winter, 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 and I'll be in 2025. I'll be in this church, and I'll be getting something done by the Spirit of God, because I got wise women around me that are guiding and helping and edifying and building us up in our most holy faith. Oh, boy. Let's go. Here it goes. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? She said, why are you going to tear us down? You're after this guy. Verse 20, Joab said, far be it from me. I don't want to destroy, that I would swallow up or destroy. Verse 21, the matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against the king, even David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from this city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Well, that's the kind of woman I like to hang out with. She goes, I'm on your side. We're going to get something done. Wait right here. Have a glass of water. I'll be right back. And duck when his head's coming over. Because we're going to get this done. And this woman, it says, we'll go to the next part. It's verse 22. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom. Did she do it by herself? Now, they knew this woman's got something going on with God. And she had wisdom. And she knew how to get it done. She wasn't fooling around, you know? Okay, what can we say about that? Justin said the other night, we're in a culture of comparison. and you go on Facebook or social media and you're comparing, and then you're feeling like, I missed something in life. What am I doing? I'm not making any progress. That person has this and that person has that. And he said, that comparison is like poison in the soul. You don't use that stuff. That's those social media, all that way of thinking. It's not the me, it's the mind, the way of thinking. And you just don't have those comparisons. That's ridiculous. I wanna be built up in my family. I want the Spirit to speak to me and edify me in Christ. Who cares about those? Everything is so material, and so, you know, who knows who and all this type of thing. This woman is saying, you got a problem? I am with you, Joab. Let's go. This is the message, and I'm finishing. Verse 22, then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom. In her wisdom. Where'd she get that? She got it from greater grace. That's in the Hebrew there. Like she got it from the Holy Spirit. Where'd she get the wisdom from? Pastor Stevens. Now, where'd she get it from? The Holy Spirit. Where'd she get the wisdom from? The Bible. Where'd she get the wisdom from? Soul winning. From praying from the people of God. Where'd she get the wisdom? And she went to the people and they go, I see. Is that the problem? Where is this guy? Well, he's hiding over in the corner. Okay, verse 22. And they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri. Well, that is a funny last name. His father's name, well, he wasn't graced with a great name, was he? His father. What's your father's name? Bichri. Okay. And cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet. They retired. The city was over. The whole thing was over and done. I love that. Over and done. No big deal. It was done. One thing, understanding together, it's done. And you know who did it? A woman with wisdom. I have high regard for so many of these people amongst us. We have the Learning Center with Kim Yanowski. We have teachers at GGCA that are amazing. We have counselors. We have amazing moms and their wives that are doing the best they can and doing a great job. And I just want to give a shout out and say to you, married, unmarried, young, old, all of us, to say I am so very thankful for the Spirit of God in our church. That's it. God bless you.
Good evening. It's good to be with you. I don't recognize everybody here because new people are here. I'm Dan Dunbar. I used to live here. Now I live in South Korea. We have an interesting neighbor to our north. It's not very far away, really. North Korea is only like 30 miles from where we live in Seoul. And it is what it is. But people ask me all the time, like, oh, are you concerned? Are you worried? It's like, you know, I just think about how Scripture says, you know, how God used Pharaoh. God used, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. God used all these heathen kings to accomplish his purpose. And I can see, I just thought of it the other day, how God is using good old Kim Jong-un in the north. Because there's a gentleman who attends our Wednesday afternoon English Bible study class. He's a doctor. Maybe I've spoken about him before. He says he's an atheist. But he is the president of our English Bible study group. I want you to think of his name. His name is Dr. Chung. Dr. Chung. I want you to pray for him tonight before you go to sleep. Dr. Chung. Okay? I think he's very close to receiving Christ. But he's holding out. But what I heard, not last week, the week before, is that this situation that's happening in the north has got him thinking. It's keeping him up at night. He's losing sleep. And those of us who are believers in the group, we're like, we're sleeping just fine. We're sleeping just fine. We're not worried. You know, if he drops a bomb on us, oh, we're going to hallelujah. We're going to heaven. But, you know, and I think, you know, that God is using this to, you know, create an urgency maybe in people's hearts. They're starting to think about things that maybe they've pushed off. Maybe that they've delayed making a decision for Christ or not. People are on their knees and they're praying. And so, hallelujah, it is what it is, and God is using it. Hello to Helen, who may be watching in Korea. Hope you're having a good morning. It's Monday morning there. We have a precious church in South Korea, precious body there. When I'm there, I'm missing you here, and when I'm here, I'm missing them there. And I'll be back. It's interesting that Lana would sing that song tonight because it has something to do with what I was going to speak about. Let's open up the Bible and read a couple of verses here. I want to read a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10, many of you know this one very well. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Lana sang about us being fearfully and wonderfully made, and God knows us. God knows us. And this verse, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know, Paul, just before that, said that he thought of himself as the least of all the apostles, that he really did not deserve to be named among the apostles, but by the grace of God, he was an apostle. He was what he was by the grace of God. And there are some days when I am in Korea, and I'm serving there as the unordained pastor, which I have no problem with. But I think, like, why, God, why am I here? Why am I doing this? You know, sometimes I think, oh, I am the least. I am, wow, you put me here. And then this verse comes back to me, but you know what? By the grace of God, you are where you are, and you're doing what you're doing, and you are who you are by the grace of God, and God is using that. God is using that. It's something I never thought would happen. But recently, I saw this verse in the book of Job. And if you turn to Job chapter 37, this is the verse I want to focus on. Job chapter 37, verse 6. And it says, for he says to the snow, fall on the earth. Likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. And if you read this same verse in the New American Standard Version of the Bible, the second part of that verse, he says to the rain and to the downpour, be strong. And, you know, what this verse is saying is like, okay, he says, snow, you are snow. What does snow do? Falls, right? Falls down to the earth. It's not hard for snow to be snow. It's not hard for it to fall from the sky and go down to the earth. For the rain, you know, to be a downpour, It's not a difficult thing for the rain, because the rain is rain. Okay, that's what rain does. And everything, you see everything in this earth, all the things that God has made, you know, fish swim. Okay, they swim. Birds fly. Most of them do, at least, anyways. You know? Do you have to tell your dog, could you please act more like a dog? You know, stop being, you know, a cat. Stop being a cow. You know, you don't have to tell a dog to do that. Dog will be a dog, right? Dog has his function. He functions as God made him to be. The snow functions as God made the snow to be. The rain functions as God made the rain to be. And we are fearfully and we're wonderfully made, right? And he knows us. He's always known us. David said that he knew all of our days. They're all there in a book. They are all written already before we even came out of our mother's womb. And he already had all these works planned for us, good works planned for us to do from the beginning. And we are who we are by the grace of God. And just like the snow and just like the rain, God is saying, be who I've made you to be. Be who I've made you to be. You know, you've been mentioning Pastor Justin's message, you know, about comparison. You know, you don't have to be somebody else. You have to be who God has made you to be, who God has graced you to be. When you became a believer, God graced you with many gifts. And God's saying, I just want you to be who I've made you to be. I want you to operate in the gifts that I've given to you. It shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard. God doesn't say to the snow, okay, as you're coming down, I want you to melt and I want you to be a downpour. Or the rain, I want you to freeze and I want you to, you know, create a blizzard. No, snow, just be snow, fall down to the ground. Rain, just pour down. And to you and I, God says, just be who I've made you to be. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of us are snow, some of us are rain, some of us are sunshine. You know? And this is one thing I've kind of discovered after being, you know, in Korea now for 3, going on 4 years, is like, okay, I don't have to be Pastor Steve DeVries. I don't have to be Pastor Tom Schaller. I don't have to be Pastor Sajin, our wonderful Korean assistant pastor. I just have to be who God has made me to be. Whatever that is, you know, and it's as every day it's something new. By grace, waking up each morning and finding out, okay, what do you have in store for me today, God? And, you know, Jesus said, you know, take my yoke. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, join me, walk with me, be part of what I'm doing. And I like the rest of the verse which says, and you will find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. Like when God calls you, and every single person in this room has a calling. When God calls you, he's like, okay, I'm calling you just to join me. Come be with me. Come find out who I've made you to be and what I have for you to do. Walk with me. Find rest for your soul. If you're comparing yourself with somebody else and saying, well, I'm not that person, and I'm not that person, I don't have that gift, and I can't do that, there's no rest in your soul. There's no rest there. God wants you to rest in who he has made you to be by his grace. You know, and I've found out that, you know, I don't know if I'm rain or if I'm... I think I must be snow. I like the cold weather. Yes. I look forward to the fall. I look forward to the winter. The Koreans shake their heads like, you're crazy. But, you know, and, you know, there are some people who definitely receive more from me because I am snow. But thank God there are people in our church who are rain and sunshine and, I don't know, sleet and hail and whatever else you want to put there, hurricanes and tornadoes, and you know. And that's the diversity in the body of Christ, right? And everyone has this appreciation, but there's this oneness that ties us all together in the Spirit, and we're all receiving our gifts from the same source. It's the same Holy Spirit working through each of us so that we complement each other and we build each other up and we serve one another. And it's precious. Thank you, all of you who pray for me. I really, really need it. Really, every day. Thank you for, you know, the messages you sent to me, Facebook, Instagram, and all the other ways that we can communicate with each other nowadays. It's a blessing to be representing this body in Korea. Thank you for taking care of Pastor Sejin while he's here. You know, he's a real blessing to our church. He was there for like 2 months this summer, and it was like, wow, the church is so different when he's here. You know, he's very much loved there. When I heard him speak after being here for a year, it was like, wow. It was so amazing. It was such a blessing to hear, you know, just life and grace and finished work pour out of him. And we are thankful that he's here for another year, but we're looking forward to having him come back when he's finished. And, you know, you're always welcome to come visit us. It's only, 24-hour trip when you add in all the time you spend waiting around in airports and flying. There's Pastor Sejin. Hi. Love you. And in closing, this is always the hardest part for me as a pastor, like the in closing part. How do I stop? Yes. You know, I look out and I see all these people that I've worked with or former students that I've taught. Why are you laughing, Tom? And I think, wow, it's good to be able to come back here and be here at the home base and see these people that I've spent so much of my life with and know that, you know, I have a place to land and that I am received just as I am by the grace of God when I come here, and that, I'm just rambling now. So I'm going to say amen.
Take a moment to stand, please, if you can. It's good to know that we can be a flake by the grace of God. I would like you, if you would just take a moment for the person standing next to you and look at them and just say to them, I want to be a helper of your joy. And mean it. I want to be a helper of your joy. Okay, thank you for that standing ovation. You may sit down now. Before I begin, since Pastor was talking about women, I was thinking about my precious wife. There. truly the helper of my joy. And also I saw Daylene Colby, veteran of our school. Cheryl Bogardis, right over here, another veteran of our school. I don't know, well, we probably worked together, what, 20-something years together in our school? So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'd like to direct your attention tonight to Philemon, the book of Philemon. Don't hear too much about that. While you're turning there, I just wanted to share just a little story with you, if I may. I told Dan today, I says, I've been to the mountain. I've been to Seoul, Korea back when, I think Ronald Reagan was president, back in 1986. And I took a mission trip to Indonesia with Pastor Robinson, just he and I. And that was an amazing trip, by the way. I don't want to go into a lot of details, but it was just amazing. But we had had a layover in Seoul, Korea at the time. And what Dan said, it was true. It's a very long trip. I mean, we embarked on New York City and flew to Anchorage. From Anchorage, we flew to Seoul. From Seoul, we went down to Taipei, over to Hong Kong, then down to Jakarta in Indonesia. And come to find out later, it was the airline that got shot over the Soviet Union the year before, the Korean Air. They didn't tell us that. But, you know, God had it covered, obviously, because I'm still here to speak about it. But at that time, Dr. Cho, you may have heard of him, had a church, or has a church, in Seoul. And they had purchased about 90 acres on top of this mountain. And at that time, they had just completed one of the chapels, which was the size and shape of Noah's Ark. And we had walked into there. It was probably about 10:30 at night, their time. And the place was packed. I was amazed. I mean, people were everywhere, thousands of people in that chapel. They're praising God. They're just standing up, singing, dancing. People sacked out in their sleeping bags, you name it, it was happening. And come to find out, that was one of 10 chapels on that mountain at that time. And then, not only that, every chapel has 4 services every day. So that means that there are 40 services that that happen every day and 280 services every week. And that is why they have nothing to fear from North Korea. That's why you can go to Seoul and not have to worry. Because God has put a bulwark against that in South Korea. Okay, in Philemon chapter 4, verse 4 and through verse 7. I'm going to read from the Amplified. I give thanks to my God for you always when I mention you in my prayers, because I continue to hear of your love and of your loyal faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and which you show toward all the saints, God's consecrated people. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Jesus Christ and unto his glory. For I have derived great joy and comfort and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints who are your fellow Christians have been cheered and refreshed through you, my brother. This is what Paul is talking about, Philemon. That's who he's talking about. Most often when we open to the book of Philemon, we want to talk about Onesimus, and mercy that Paul is asking Philemon to show Onesimus, his servant. But we often miss what he's saying about Philemon. First of all, he talks about Philemon's love. And if you look at the word love, it's agape love. It's divine love. And his loyal faith. And again, this talks about his divine convictions towards Jesus Christ. Now, this Philemon character is a very prominent man in the city of Colossae. He's rich, and I'll say it because it's true. He was a slave owner. It was a common thing in those days. But what I'm getting at is simply this, is that Paul recognizes him for eternity through the Word of God, his love and his faith. And Paul goes on to pray that the sharing of Philemon's faith may produce and promote full recognition, appreciation, understanding, and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in Christ Jesus. He's talking about one man here. It could be any one of us, any one of you, by extension, by identification. Think about it. Your love is an encouragement to someone. Your faith is an encouragement to someone. Your love and faith help another person's joy. Think about it. Don't ever take it for granted. I mean, I remember my first introduction to The Bible Speaks was, I think it's when, I think Jimmy Carter was still president. And it was the log church up in Auburn, Maine. You probably know about that. And Pastor Jagir, my spiritual father from way back in Maine, God bless you if you're watching, 85 years old and going strong, invited me to church because one night I just called him right out of the blue. I said, you know what? I was saying to myself, I said, God, there's got to be more to life than this. And I had a job. I bought a new car. I had an apartment. I was doing well. And I said, God, there has to be more than this. So I called him. So he invited me to church. I came in. He was out of town. So I just went and sat by myself. And the service was over, and I'm standing there. I'm looking around. Everyone's looking at me, but no one's talking to me. So I said, and I just walked out. But I said, you know what? I'm going to give it one more chance. I'm going to come back one more time. So I came back, and this time, Pastor Dick Burrell was there, and he greeted me, which was nice, and I came and sat down. And very nice service over, standing there. People looking at me, I'm looking at them. Nobody's talking to me. Now, if you're from Maine, that makes sense. Honestly, think about it. It makes sense. But if you say, wow, I mean, come on now. I mean, so I went out to my car, and lo and behold, I locked my keys in the car. So I had to go back in and talk to somebody. So I did, and Pastor Burrell was very kind to give me a ride home and get my spare keys. And then come back. But it was like, it's like God forced the issue. We don't have to force the issue here. I mean, when you walk in, there are people at the door greeting you. That has to be a helper of your joy. I mean, when I go up to you and I say, hey, it's good to see you, I really mean it. I mean, has anybody wondered why Amy Shandor is smiling so much these days? Have you thought? Why is that, Amy? Tell us, please. Arbor is here. That's why. That's why. That's great. That's great. So Paul himself has derived great joy and comfort and encouragement from Philemon's love and faith, because the hearts of the saints have been cheered and refreshed through him. So I want to be a helper of your joy. Now have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 34, just for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith we stand. Now, a helper here simply means a fellow laborer, somebody that works with you, laborers together with God. That's what it means. And that's who we are. It's like Pastor Dan was saying, by the grace of God, we are who we are. And this is who we are. Now, sometimes, and I know this to be true for all of us, we come through these doors and it's just less than joyful. I mean, whatever the reason might be, you know, think about it. Maybe, you know, we've all had times of joylessness where it just ain't grand to be a Christian. You know, let's face it, it's sometimes the burdens of life do get the best of us. And just having somebody there with a smile on the face saying, hey, it's good to see you, is an encouragement. It's just an encouragement. Maybe, you know, the reason for my joylessness is sin. You know, maybe I just can't tear myself away from that stupid computer. Or maybe my tweets have turned into squawks. You know? Maybe I've been trolling too much on Fakebook. That's where my source of alternative facts is. Fakebook. I do go on Facebook once in a while because I do get some pictures of my grandchildren, which, you know, I do like to see. But maybe it's simply, we have physical ailments. Maybe it's just one of those things called old age. You know, you're starting to get pains where you never thought you had anything before. And it's starting to hurt. You know, get over my, what they call the piriformis syndrome. For some reason, I had a desk job for about a year and a half. And what I didn't know at the time is that I was sitting on my wallet. Don't do that. I'm not kidding. It's extremely painful when you get this piriformis syndrome. It's this little muscle that sits under your gluteus maximus muscles, and you never knew it was there until it started hurting bad. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Yeah, you can take some painkillers. Yeah, you can do some stretches. But I was sitting on my wallet. Everybody does that. So now you saw where I took it out from? My front pocket, and that's where it stays today. I've gotten to that habit now because that pain was unbearable. So maybe it's something like that that is causing us to be joyless. Maybe it's some form of discontentment. Maybe I'm just not happy about my situation. I looked at my finances the other night. And I started doing the math. I hate it when I do that, but I start doing the math. And it just doesn't add up at the end of the month. And you go, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I can't tithe. But if you stop to think about it, what a way to encourage somebody by tithing. Because that money could go, you never know, to someone in need. That would encourage their joy. So I don't want to not tithe. I want to do that because it's an encouragement to someone. And then as God blesses, it's just an amazing thing that God does in the lives of people. So each one of these things, and that's what Pastor Whalen said, he says, we all have our things, whatever it may be. And don't worry, we don't know anything. I'm just saying that we all have our things. But these things start building a wall. Each one of these things, whatever it may be, is a block that I am putting up against a river that flows from within me. And as I build that dam higher and higher, the water no longer flows. And I'm on the dry side of the river. And I start looking at my situation. And I say, I thirst. I'm thirsty, but there's no water. Well, this is what we can do as helpers of your joy. Maybe I can pray for you without knowing the situation, but just knowing to pray, to mention you in my prayers as I pray. Or maybe I can offer a word of encouragement. Hey, you know what? I've been praying for you. I'm really believing God. It's going to help. Whatever, you know, the situation might be. Or I might offer you some food. Sidoni here, amazing woman of God, feeds the hungry. And then passes it along to my wife, and she feeds the hungry, including me. No, just kidding. Those are the kinds of things that help people. Because you know what? We're in a crazy world. It always has been, always will be, and it will continue to be until the Lord comes. And I have a choice. I can continue to build that dam and stop the flow of water. Or I can help by praying or by offering something to you, or whatever the case might be, to chip away at that wall. Because you know what? The water didn't dry up. It's behind the dam. It's always been there, just waiting to flow through. But it can't. And that's where I find myself when I have my times of joylessness. I'm in a dry place. But if I pray for you and you pray for me, and we encourage one another, and when you spoke to that person a few minutes ago, I want to be a helper of your joy, and you meant it. That's what it means. We are going to help each other break down that dam that's stopping up that water, so it can flow from the throne of God to us. And we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed, fully satisfied. That's what the word blessed means, fully satisfied. Let me read it for you, because I want you to hear the word. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So let's do that for one another, shall we? Just be an encourager. Your weakness is tweeting or Facebook, whatever. I purpose to do this. Try to make somebody laugh. I'll throw in a little comment just to make somebody laugh. Or I will restrain myself and not get into any political arguments. It's a lose-lose. It's a lose-lose. Nobody wins. Because what am I trying to do? Convince them that I'm right, and they're trying to convince me that they're right, and you know what? Nobody's right. Because I'm more concerned about being right than I am about edifying and building up the other person. So let's be helpers of each other's joy, shall we? In Jesus' name, amen.